Father, we just want to thank you this morning. And thank you that you never give up on us. You never stop working in us, Father. You are a continual working God in our hearts and our minds, our outlook, our perspectives. Yes, Father. Your effort with us is limitless. Your love for us is limitless. Your goodness towards us, limitless. Your embrace, everlasting. Your care, never ending. Your kindness, beyond our imagination. Help us to step in, Father, to walk into your presence, Father, on a daily basis. Holy Spirit, let your will be done this morning, your kingdom come. In our hearts and our minds, everything about us, Father. Wash over us, Lord. Minister to our hearts, minister to our doubts, Father. Remove all doubts from our minds and our hearts, Father. All worries, Father. We lay down every heavy burden before you this morning. Your burden is light. We break and remove every difficult yoke this morning because your yoke is easy. We surrender, Father, all our concerns, all our worries, all our fears to you, Jesus, this morning. And we behold you. Help us to see you for who you really are, Father. Stunning. Sure. Praise God. Mission organization asked us to accommodate a man that arrived Wednesday night. He is a theologian to come do a New Testament course at the theological faculty. We're also running a New Testament course this week, SI, but they're also running a New Testament course, and it's an organization that's just using the theological faculty in Stellenbosch's building. In any case, to cut a long story short, we arranged hosts for him. They asked us too close to the faculty, people that stay in Dorp Street. And he was going to arrive Thursday night, and he let them know 2 or 3 days prior that his flight has changed, is arriving Wednesday night, and no one knew. So Thursday morning, I get this frantic call from the USA. Have you picked up Wolnick? Interesting name. Took me, I don't know how much to remember it. Have you picked up Wolnick? And I said, what? I thought he sorted, the host said they'll take care of it. And he slept at the airport. He had no telephone number, nothing. Wednesday night. So Thursday morning, I just drop everything, cancel all the appointments. The host can't pick him up. The ladies in Joburg, the guy, I don't know, he's busy with some other meetings early in the morning. Get into the car, rush to the airport, sit in traffic, rush hour traffic. Takes me 2.5 hours from Stellenbosch to here to the airport. Thursday morning. Get there. Yeah, you can imagine. Now I'm praying. I'm saying, God, please, let me find this guy. Now, you know our airport is probably twice the size of the largest mall in the country. How many thousands of people are there? So I'm saying, God, how am I going to, I don't even know really what I know. He's an African man. He comes from Haiti. He's studying in Guatemala. I don't really know what he looks like. I saw a picture once, twice, but I mean, very faint picture. So where am I going to find him? But we arrive, and now, as I come to the airport, now there's choices I have to make. Which parking? Because I must choose a parking where he is. Otherwise, I'm going to crisscross this massive airport looking. I mean, what's the chance? Unless God helps me. Let's be honest. It is impossible. Do you agree? So I just get this gut feeling, God's gut feeling, and I park at the stop and go where you have a half an hour free parking to go fetch the person, the bottom, the ground floor. Go park there close to the end exit. Go. And as as you exit the parking, you come before these big glass doors that open up into the airport. That little piece, two guys walk past me. And I'm walking, and the Spirit says, turn around and ask that guy if he's Will Nick. And I'm walking past him. So I turn around and I say, are you Will Nick? And he like shudders. I think, why is he? Well, he's not saying yes or no. I said, are you Will Nick? And he says, yes, yes, I am. What's the probability of that happening by chance? Impossible. Impossible. That's God. That's the God that loves you and loves me, will take care of us. It's a very powerful testimony I saw many years ago of this lady. She was in her 40s. I think she's probably in her 50s now. And she had a horrific childhood. Her father was a satanic priest in the States, which state, I don't know, but in the USA. And he worked for NASA, but behind closed curtains, nobody knew they would have satanic rituals in their house. And he would have this whole mask on. He's this family man, had a wife, kids, and the neighbors didn't know there were satanic rituals going on in this house, in this normal, pleasant suburban street with homes and children and everything. And as soon as she could bear children, she started bearing children for them to sacrifice, raped, etc., etc. And she was very messed up. She had split personalities to cope with reality. She would escape reality by becoming and living someone else. And at the age of, I think, 18, as soon as she could run away from her house, the first guy that asked her to marry him, she left home and she got married to him. Eventually, that didn't work out. Drugs, everything wrong. But she ended up in this one church and she just cried out to God and said, if you're real, save me, help me. I don't want to live. She tried a few times to commit suicide. God hindered that. Praise God for that. And she gave her life to Christ that day. But her split personalities were still there. She would still escape to these other personalities to cope with the reality of having to bear, being raped, bear children. I don't know how many children she had by the age of 18, which they sacrificed. They don't register them. So then nobody knows about the births. This is what these people do. And then she said, Lord, I need healing. I've met you, but I need, when am I going to become sound in my heart and my mind? And the Lord said, when you take communion today, you'll be set free. She took the communion in the specific church and she was healed. She started a ministry in India for down and out broken ladies, helping them that get raped and that are sexually abused. Has a big ministry, ministers to crowds all over India and other Southeast Asia countries. And she gets a call. Her dad's busy dying. She had no contact with him probably for 20 plus years. Her dad's dying. And the first thought she thinks is, he needs to come to Christ. I must lead him to Christ. So she rushes to him. How many of you would have said, laat hy vrek die gemors? How many of you would have said, let him die the rubbish? Come on, be honest. Yes, what? No, 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 you all would have said that. Hey, come on, what he did to her. And she goes and she says, no, let me get to my dad. And she arrives at the airport, little be knowing, a neighbor of her dad is a pastor and he had visited her dad, led him to Christ. She said, Dad, are you sure? And she said, I forgive you. And a tear came down his eyes. She says, can I just make sure? And he indicated. And she led him in another prayer of salvation because he couldn't speak. He had to think what she was saying to him. And she led him to the Lord. I've come across something after 24 years of ministry, and it's ongoing. And this thing really gives me a loss for words. And I have much empathy and sympathy for the folk that sit with this problem, with this issue, with this heavy stone that pulls them down. Many folk pardon and forgive others. Not there yet, hey? Go to the previous one. Many folks pardon and forgive others. Many folk experience God's forgiveness. Really, they feel they set free, they delivered, and they washed by the Lord. But these folks that experience God's forgiveness and release forgiveness to others sit with a problem. And this I've found time and time again in counseling. They struggle to forgive themselves. Isn't that crazy? They experience God's forgiveness, they forgive others, but somehow they do not afford themselves the grace that God affords them. They forgive, they struggle to release themselves from guilt. The result of this is self-condemnation and self-deprecation and rejection. And it destroys them slowly but surely. They're forgiven. They know it. They don't doubt it. You ask them, no, I know I'm forgiven. But somehow they just cannot forgive themselves. And this starts to destroy them. It's like they are saying, and I say to them, so by you not wanting to forgive yourself, you saying the crucifixion is not good enough. Jesus' sacrifice, dying for your sins, is not good enough. The price is not high enough. What he paid is not big enough. I have to punish myself more. The punishment he took on the cross is not enough. I struggle to forgive me. I can forgive others, but me, I struggle to forgive. The effect of this is it skews your personality. Saul was an amazing king, but he ended up as a very skewed, messed up king. Because he was not forgiven, and I'm sure he did not forgive himself as well, because he messed up, he missed the road. And this unforgiveness applies in all directions. It skews, unforgiveness generally skews your personality, messes you up. What it does is it wanes the anointing that God so wants to pour out upon you and release through your life. This unforgiving of yourself causes a crow's nest in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Your whole being, this is a cry nest in Afrikaans, a crow's nest of fishing tackle. Have you seen a fisherman cast his angle? He casts the fishing line, and somehow something gets wrong in the reel, and all of those fishing, or that fishing line, becomes this big crow's nest. Have you seen that? Can you unwind that? You just throw it away. And us not forgiving ourselves causes that in our emotions, our hearts, the very core of our being. We lose spontaneity and liberty. We lose freedom to share. It consumes our thoughts, our motives. When you cannot forgive yourself, even though you experience God's forgiveness, even though you release forgiveness, your motives become all skew. So that your outlook upon life gets messed up. Your actions are influenced by it. Your feelings are influenced by it. Because on the inside, you really cannot let go of your shame, guilt, and your pain. We lash out when we have this crow's nest in our hearts. When we cannot forgive ourselves, we lose the fruit of the Spirit. God's fruit of the Spirit that wants to flow through us is quenched. It's dried up. Our reality becomes shame and guilt and self-pity. The spectacles through which we look get blurred, gets messed up. because we cannot release the forgiveness that Christ has so lovingly given us upon ourselves. Forgive ourselves as He so readily and wantingly and lovingly does for us. It depletes our motivation. Jy's lus vir niks nie. You don't want to do anything. You don't have motivation, inspiration to do or touch or do anything for God or even for others. When you sit with unforgiveness towards yourself, it depletes you of all creative, original, spontaneous juices. It robs you of spontaneity. It puts you in a hole. Now let's go look at the positive of you forgiving yourself. And not only yourself, others. Forgiving others, forgiving and accepting His forgiveness. What's the power of forgiveness? I don't know of many other, and we can go to the next slide, thanks. I don't know of any other religion that gives you a clean slate when you pray to its God. Do you know of another religion that does that? I've studied many religions. I've not come across a place where you can go to a deity and He says in His book and in His teachings of thousands of years, be it Hinduism, Islam, be it Buddhism, you are clean. You washed. You are pure. Do you realize, and this is what instigated this message, I realized that is a miracle. Have you guys ever thought about that? The fact that you know you are forgiven is supernatural. Speak to somebody that knows they're forgiven and have given their lives to Christ. There's no doubt they know. Something happens on the inside. The Spirit comes and throws off all guilt, all shame, all self-pity, and you are set free. A miracle takes place every time you say, sorry, Jesus, and you know He's accepted your sorry. You know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we dare not miss that miracle. We dare not undervalue that amazing thing that happens when we say sorry and God watches us. And we know it. And we set free from that pointing finger. We set free from that accusing heart. We are clean. So God does it beyond a shadow of a doubt. The next point, say, supernatural, then it's clean, cleansed, and then it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no doubt in your mind. That miracle that takes place releases freedom and liberty. How do you think David danced before the Lord? He knew he's forgiven. He forgave himself. Look, I can imagine David could have had a thing against himself. He knew God. He on purpose sent Bathsheba's husband to the front lines. He knew their army strategy is you never send a guy on his own. You always send a few troops with him. And he knew when they go right to the front, to the wall, to attack that city, they would also die. See, he was not only a murderer of one man, he was a murderer of a few. Have you ever known that? There are a few that went with him. And when he got the report back from Joab, Joab said, those men have all died. And David was the general, he knew exactly how they operated. Do you think he had a few things to forgive himself for? You better. How many of you killed someone? Don't tell us, but I mean, I don't want to know. God's forgiven you. It's washed, maybe with our words and our minds, hey? Who's ever really despised someone else? 1, 2, honest, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The rest of you? No, I'm just teasing. All right. If you hate someone, the Bible says you actually kill them. 1 John. So in any case, so David had to learn to forgive himself. And because he could forgive himself, he could dance before the ark. He could rejoice because he knew and he tasted the miracle had become true to his life. And he applied the miracle of God's forgiveness so he can forgive himself as well. And he didn't even have the cross. He didn't have the sacrifice of Jesus. He did that just because He had an intimate relationship. And there's a psalm that says, God, you have no desire in burnt offerings and sacrifice. What you have a desire, Psalm 51, you have a desire in a broken and contrite heart. And he knew his broken and contrite heart would tap him into the new covenant even while he's still in the old covenant. So he tapped into what we're experiencing today. And he knew the animal is not good enough. Just what God wants is a repentant, remorseful heart. And then you tap into the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What it does, knowing you are forgiven, the power and the meaning of forgiveness gives you healing. Where? In your emotions, in your body. Let's go look at a few verses. You might think, yuck, this guy's preaching without scripture. 1 Peter 2, verses 2-3. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up, mature, and whole in God. A taste. To experience forgiveness is to taste of God. Is to start off as someone small and to grow, to drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then kindness is his forgiveness. Then you'll grow up and mature and you'll become whole in God. Whole means healed. Beholding God is not only emotional healing, it's a total healing. It results in a physical healing. We go look at Luke 5, verses 20. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Luke 5, 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. God first forgave him, and then what resulted? What came out of that forgiveness? Healing, physical healing. Wasn't other way around. I know there are some instances where God heals and he hasn't declared forgiveness, but the fact that they put their faith on him and saying, Lord, we trust on you. We acknowledge our wrongdoing. We acknowledge our rejection of you. We stop rejecting. We accept you is repentance. And then they get their healing. The fact that they go to him is part of their salvation. It's such a powerful, powerful force. Forgiveness and knowing that you are forgiven. When we know we are forgiven and we forgive ourselves, a new light gets put on in our hearts. Have you spoken to someone that's just come to salvation? I've heard this so often. They say, when I woke up the next morning, I saw the green leaves. Have you experienced it? Did you experience it yourself? Through others? I smell the scent of the flowers. Suddenly the colors are bright. Suddenly I see the value of everyone around me. I appreciate and love others. I appreciate God's creation. And a light comes on in their hearts, in their minds. They notice beautiful colors. It's as if their eyes have been opened to a new reality that God is revealing or is busy revealing to them. Let's go read a few verses that describe the fruit of knowing you're forgiven and the fruit of forgiving yourself and forgiving others. Psalm 51, verses 6-15. It's quite a bit, but it's powerful. And I'm reading it out of the Message Bible. Let's read here together. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then. Conceive a true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me in to foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. Look at that. Forgiveness, health. God makes a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Isn't that amazing? What does Genesis refer to? Brand new beginning. A brand new start. Create. Let's go back to the previous one. The one about Genesis. Was it there now? Sorry. Where's the one about Genesis? Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Just ponder that for a few moments. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. That's what forgiveness does. You look at everything with a fresh start. You ponder everything. You're clean inside out, and you've released yourself of guilt, shame, and self-pity. If you go look at verse, the next verse, give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Forgiveness results in us seeing the harvest and doing something about it. Commute my death sentence, guard my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. They are such powerful fruit. Do you see all the fruit of knowing you're forgiven? Do you see all the results, the explosion that happens? This is the fruit of the new Genesis. But God wants us to live this continuously. Not to have left this behind the day we got saved. And that's the challenge this morning. I know you're all saved. But how many of us have left some of these fruits behind and have waned in living it in the years we've served Christ? God's saying this morning to us, return back. Have a Genesis day every day of your life. Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget how much I love you and I care for you and how I want to use you. Unbutton my lips, dear God. I let loose with your praise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Those, O God, you will not despise. A fruit of forgiving yourself and forgiving generally is boldness. A boldness to testify of His goodness. A boldness to lead by helping people, guiding people. A boldness to share Christ is a fruit of forgiving yourself. If you've lost that boldness, then there's somewhere in your life where you've not released forgiveness or you've not forgiven yourself. If we go look at Psalm 51, verse 13 again, we've just read it, then we see it says that so clearly there. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. When I know I'm forgiven, I start noticing the harvest. I start leading others to Christ. I start loving them to repentance. Forgiveness releases strengths. God-given character strengths. Peter denied Jesus. And after he denied Jesus, he thought he's thrown away. But Christ took him back. Christ forgave him. And Christ, because God forgave him and because he knew he's forgiven, God could use his character, his personality. Because his personality, he was very forthright and he was very honest. He's the first one when Christ said, who do you say I am? He's the only one, the first one that said, you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world. You think God can use that? If the enemy uses it, does a lot of damage. Because that's referred to speaking before you think. But Peter, when he's convinced of something and he's honest and he's sincere and pure in his heart, he's forthright. He just talks. So it releases strengths, God-given strengths. And Christ says to him, feed my sheep. That's why he accepted. He said, I forgive you. That's wrong after he denied Christ. He said, now go and be a leader. I'm releasing my character that I've planted in you before you were born. Your personality, I want to use to lead my church. So go and feed my sheep. your forgiveness of yourself and others affects others. It has an influence on others. It creates in them a hunger for that which you're experiencing. Remember, the fact that you know you're forgiven is a miracle. There's no way to explain that logically. No other religion can give us that. No other working of any other God makes people feel that cleanliness in their hearts, except Jesus Christ, full stop. Go speak to Muslims. They're not sure they're going to heaven. They know for sure they're going to heaven if they kill somebody for their God. Buddhists don't know where they're going. Hindus don't know. They're hoping, they're groping. Atheists believe in themselves. Christianity says, God says, I alone have the power to do a supernatural miracle in your heart that lets you know you are washed. You're clean. You're pure. You have a clean slate. Now that affects, can you imagine you walking around with that liberty, that freedom? When David danced in his underwear before the ark, you better believe it influenced the whole nation. If our king so diminishes himself that he regards himself compared to the great God that we can't see. We have this big building, or we want to build a big building for him. We have an ark. He's been traveling with us for hundreds and thousands of years. He's been with Abraham, etc., etc. But our king regards this as such high estimation for this God that he dances around in his underwear. You better believe it affects everybody around them. Can I have an amen? So your forgiveness, your tasting forgiveness, you forgiving yourself will impact the world around you. But stay at the Genesis. Return to the Genesis. Appreciate what God has done and live it out. The woman at the well, she had 5 husbands. She came there around 12 o'clock midday, scripture says. And every other woman came early in the morning. Do you know why she didn't go in the mornings? Because the other woman despised her. She was a prostitute. Their husbands were probably busy with her. They despised her. So she came when nobody came, when it's too hot, where she could be alone to get water for her house. And there she met Christ, and Christ purposed to meet her. And he told her everything about her life. And she believed in him. And what did she do right after that? What effect did her forgiveness have? She brought the whole town, Samaria, back. They didn't like her, but they had her ear. I mean, she had their ears. She's not a woman of good influence. She's a woman that everybody despised, especially the ladies, were very threatened by her. But yet, when she spoke, when she was touched, she influenced the whole town, and they all came. Knowing you're forgiven and forgiving yourself has an amazing another fruit. You start growing in love for Christ. You can't help loving the one that so unashamedly says, you're mine. You belong to me. I've cleaned you. I've washed you. You're pure. I love you. Your love grows for Christ. Suddenly, you see him with a different eye, a different angle. A new chapter has started in your life. And not only does your love start growing for him, you start understanding his love for you. Do you know that the rest of your Christian life, you should, and I hope you do, pursue to discover his love for you? Because our victory in all things can only come through that. The more you are consumed by the love of Jesus, the more everything else falls into place. That's how it works. When you know that you know you are loved and you live and you feed off the love of Jesus, suddenly you don't feed off other things. The attraction of sin, the attraction of this and that that's wrong, no longer is a lure. You are being satisfied by who? And he becomes, as scripture says, your all-sufficient one. Guys, I can't say Christ is my all-sufficient one yet. And I'm a leader. So God has shown me, and I challenge everyone, make pursuing, discovering His love for you your number one life priority. Because that will change everything. When you wallow and you drink and you jump into His love, we understand little tidbits of it. But there's a whole new world to discover about His love. Knowing you're forgiven strengthens your relationship with Christ. Knowing you're forgiven stimulates intimacy with Jesus. It even stimulates intimacy with people. Not in a sexual way, but it stimulates intimacy in a caring, a loving, a brotherly, a sisterly love way. God gives us a clean slate. It's so amazing. Forgiveness says, you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's saying, you make God look good. You make God look holy because of what Jesus did for you. You worship and honor God. You bring glory to God in that God, through Jesus Christ, has so much love, so much care that He can forgive you. That's what that scripture says in Romans. You and I are the righteousness of God through who? So His standard of righteousness is determined by the fact that He forgives us. So He's a good God. What were we saying this morning? You're a good, good Father. You're a caring, you're a loving Father. His love forgives us. His love floods us. We must find our sustenance from Him and Him alone. Hebrews 10, verses 14 says the following. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. MSG, Message Bible. MSG. It was addicted. This is your addictive Bible. MSG. It's a food enhancer. A biblical hunger food enhancer. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, He did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. Imputed righteousness and pursuing righteousness, running parallel. That's what it says. God says you are already holy, full stop. Today, tomorrow, forever. It's perfect. That's what it says. The New King James, most correct version says, for by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So although you're perfected forever, His love will so change you once you start to pursue it and feed off it that you don't want to be fed by things that will destroy you. You want to find your sustenance from Him and Him alone. That's why pursuing His love is the most important thing you can do for the rest of your life. Discover the love of Christ in greater and greater and wider and larger measures, more than anything else. We're on the last bit of this message. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is another thing that gets released when we know we are forgiven and we live in that forgiveness and we've forgiven ourselves. We start walking in forgiveness. The blockages that unforgiveness does in us towards the fruit of the Holy Spirit being released is immense. You know, you struggle with patience. You struggle with kindness. You struggle with gentleness. Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit. But there's an instability that comes in you. There are blockages that rise up within you when you haven't accepted His forgiveness, released forgiveness towards yourself. The reason God says He's perfected us all for those that are being sanctified is He says, once you realize something is wrong, and you've asked me to forgive you, and I do,
I forgive you actually before you ask it, but I want you to say sorry. So you can know that's wrong, and that's a wrong thing to feed off me, feed off my love. Once you do that, you can't keep returning to that. But the more you taste and see my love, the less that lures you to return to it. The less you are turned back to that. The less you want to feed off that, which deep in your heart you know is not right. It's destructive. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is strengthened through us to others. Shame, guilt is removed through forgiveness that we give ourselves. The last point is, when you forgive yourself as God has forgiven you, when you've released that love into your heart, purpose and mission comes to the fore. Suddenly, you awaken to your purpose and your mission because you're living a life of knowing you are the righteousness of Christ or the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. You know you're forgiven and you have forgiven yourself. And now you have purpose and mission. What happened to Samson? He was unfaithful. He sinned. They cut off his hair. They gouged out his eyes. And he was literally used as a human ox. He had to pull, I think, those ancient things that ground wheat. He had to pull the stone in a circular formation, and he had to ground wheat. He was like a human animal. And at one stage, they loosened him from there, and they put him as a spectacle for their biggest party to show off who they've won their biggest enemy. They've beat him, and he cries out to God, and he says, "Forgive me. Forgive me. Let me fulfill my purpose, my calling. Return my strength to me." And suddenly he becomes this amazingly strong guy again. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and he breaks those pillars, and they killed more of the Philistines than they've ever killed before. An ungodly nation that would not turn towards God. They had lots of grace, lots of exposure to Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. And yet they were determined to worship Molech and other gods. Judgment time had come for them. They've had lots of grace. From the amazing miracles that happened in Joseph's life and him saving the whole region by getting them to save food for 7 years, the good years for the bad years, 400 years had expired, where all those nations were exposed to what the God of the Israelites did for them. He saved them from starvation. And they did not turn to God. And Scripture says their sins had reached heaven. And that's when God started throwing out his judgment through the Israelites. And the plagues came about. And he set them free from Egypt. And they were God's sword of judgment upon all those nations that were sacrificing children in Canaan. Look at the whole picture before you judge God. He gave them 400 years to turn to Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, after they saw the miracle of Joseph and how God used Joseph. Let's pray together. I don't know. I just seen some of us really here. Can I ask you all to close your eyes? Some of us here might sit with unforgiveness towards yourself. You resent yourself for something that you've done or that just niggles at you, just won't let go of you, won't let you go. Or you might even really struggle to forgive others, and you want all these amazing things to flow through your life, as I've been talking about this morning. You want to fulfill your purpose and mission. You want the fruit of the Spirit to flow through your life. You want to be effective for the kingdom of God. You want to touch others. You want to know you are clean. You want your intimacy and relationship with Christ restored. You want your love and understanding of His love to grow. You want your strength and character that is implanted in you to be released. You want boldness returned. You want to see things with a new light. You want to return to the genesis of your salvation. Those of you that say, "Lord, I have to return and I have to return to the Genesis," raise your hand right now. I've missed my Genesis. I've left my Genesis. And those of you that are saying, Lord, I sit with resentment. It could be resentment towards others or even to yourself. Those that have raised their hands, put your hands down. So altar call number two. Those of you that really struggle with resentment, whatever form, be it to others, to yourself, even towards God, raise your hands. I see those hands. I'd like us all to pray together. Can we all stand? And those that didn't raise their hands, pray this in support of the people that did. Keep your eyes closed. Turn your palms up to the roof. It's a gesture of, I'll receive whatever you have for me, God. I'll have whatever you have for me. I'll hunger and thirst after you. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry that I've ignored your love. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've not pursued the knowledge of your love. Lord Jesus, this morning, I want to commit my heart, my mind, and my body to pursue, to discover your love for me. Father, I'm sorry that I've struggled to forgive. You know the areas you struggle to forgive. Just repent of that right now in your own heart. Lord Jesus, I want to return to the genesis of my life. My newborn life, my rebirth in you. Let me portray the fruit of the beginning of my salvation with the realization of the power of your forgiveness in and for and through me. In Jesus' name. Father, become my all-sufficient one. Become the one that completes me. That is my identity. My whole being. Help me to feed off you alone. Not to feed off any unrighteousness, any unholiness, but to feed of your love. Let your love change me. Let your love heal me. Let your love deliver me. Let your love return me to Genesis of my rebirth. In Jesus' name. I cast off every heavy burden. I break every difficult yoke. In Jesus Christ's name. I hunger thirst after you. Be glorified. Be magnified. Come, Holy Spirit. I wait on you now. Come move in my midst. Come consume me with your presence. In Jesus' name.
Can we have some facilitators up front? And if there's anyone who'd still like to respond to that word, we just have need a personal prayer for anything that you need prayer for, then you're welcome to come forward. And then we're going to close off the service. You're welcome. Please join us for tea and snacks. Thank you so much, Mac, for the words, and God bless you.